Yahusha, the I Am. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, where Moses said unto Yahweh, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The mighty one of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And the mighty one said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. That's Exodus 3, 13 and 14. And we don't want to stop there where all the protesting ministers stop, including many of us Sabbath ministers stop at verse 14. We want to go on to verse 15, which is very, very interesting. And using the King James, and then I'm going to have to correct some of the pagan transplants for the word God, for the word Mighty One, they put in G-O-D, and for Yahweh, they put in L-O-R-D. So Mighty One is G-O-D, as it says there literally, God said moreover unto Moses, and then later, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. So let's correct that now as we mentally transpose that in our mind. At verse 14, Exodus chapter 3, and Yahweh said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And Yahweh said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh. So there it is. There is the tetragrammaton right here. In Exodus chapter 3, Yahweh, mighty one of your fathers, the mighty one of Abraham, the mighty one of Yitzhak, and the mighty one of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And further, 16. Oh, yes, that's looking good. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, Yahweh, mighty one of your fathers, mighty one of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. So there the tetragrammaton, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, has been used twice in verses 15 and 16, or in modern versions such as the King James, even, from the Antioch Scrolls, has been translated in English as L-O-R-D, a Balaam title of L-O-R-D. So it should be Yahweh, which he said right there, as plain as the nose is on our face, or as plain as a set of teeth is in our mouth, that we've been created, not evolved here. We didn't just accidentally wind up from some primordial blob of slime. We've been created specifically by Yahweh. What is our purpose? If we ever get kind of lukewarm, selfish-minded and all that, remember that we're created to praise Yahweh. That's the reason we're here. So I am that I am, and then he actually said Yahweh right after that in verses 15 and 16 of Exodus 3. So then, in John 18, when Messiah had spoken these words, he went forth with his emissaries over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his emissaries, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place where Yahusha oft-times resorted thither with his emissaries. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, or Yehuda, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Yahusha, therefore, knowing all things, or Yahusha, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? Now we're going to find an added word in here in the modern versions in verse 5, and that added word is italicized, it's he. It's slanting sideways. It's been added to try to make sense. We're going to take it out. But first of all, we'll do it the way they said it. They answered him, Yahusha, whom seek ye? Messiah answered, and they answered him, Yahusha of Nazareth. Yahusha saith unto them, I am he. So Messiah said unto them, I am he. And Yehuda also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, as soon as he said, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Let's take out that word there, he, that's been added, and just hear how that sounds. They answered him, to the question, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Yahusha of Nazareth." So Yahusha saith unto them, "I am." And in verse 6, as soon as he had said unto them, "I am," they went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom seek you?" And they said, "Yahusha of Nazareth." Yahusha answered, "I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, have I lost none." So there he is, the signature and the phrase, "I am." From Exodus 3, we find throughout the scriptures, actually, in the newer scripture, so-called New Testament as well, but we found that in John 18, 5 through 9. Hebrews 7, to prove that Yahusha, or Yahusha, has always existed, that he is the Mighty One. Hebrews 7, now people can sit around and argue and try to intellectually divide up the Mighty Head, and you have your Father, you have your Son, you have your Ruach HaKadosh, and you might have four other spirits too, a sevenfold spirit, as spoken of in the first part of Revelation. But we don't want to go dividing up and everything. We want to go by scriptures, of course. But what does the scripture say in Hebrews 7? "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High," speaking of the Messiah here, "Melchizedek, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being by interpretation king of righteousness. And after that also king of Salem," which is king of peace, king of Shalom, rather, king of Salem or Shalom. "Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life." Without beginning of days, or neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like unto the Son of Yahweh. "He abides a priest continuously. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils." One person who came to our door tried to explain this way, as JESUS did not have a published genealogy, or Yahusha did not have a published genealogy. And the scripture calls him King of Righteousness right there in Hebrews chapter 7. No human being can be called that, the King of Righteousness, can be called that by Yahweh. For example, we read further in verse 21 of Hebrews 7. "For those priests were made without an oath, but this was with an oath by him, it said unto him, Yahweh swear and will not repent, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Yahusha, or Yahusha, is called King of Kings. 1 Timothy 6, Revelation 19, Revelation 15, verse 3, King of Saints, Prince of Shalom, in Isaiah 9, 6. Declared a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. No amount of scripture twisting will adequately negate the force of this text that leave out of their doctrines entirely. John 20, Thomas answered and said unto him, this is in 20:28. Thomas answered, "Yahweh and my Mighty One." Now they used my L-O-R-D there, L-O-R-D or Baal, so we're not going to use that. That's, of course, though from their Greek. We don't believe that the newer scriptures actually were Greek. There's an example there where Paul was talking to King Agrippa, and he asked King Agrippa in the book of Acts, now, if he's speaking in Greek, this would really be strange. And he asked King Agrippa, "May I speak with you in Greek?" Agrippa would have look at him. "Have you gone insane or something? You're already speaking in Greek. Why are you asking me if you can speak in Greek?" That's just like, can I now switch over to English when I'm already speaking in English? So the book of Acts, King Agrippa, he said, "Well, of course you can speak in Greek there somewhere, huh?" Thomas called him by "my Mighty One." It should be noted that Yahusha did not correct him for this statement in John 20:28, "Yahweh and my Mighty One." 1 Timothy 1, "Now unto the King be honor and esteem forever and ever," or they use G-L-O-R-Y, or kavod, the Hebrew word kavod. In this scripture, the apostle Shaul, or Paul, calls Yahusha the Messiah. He calls him Mighty One, as if he is the Father. Of course, they're using, here in the modern versions, they're using the word G-O-D incorrectly, because that's a corrupted pagan word that we've proven in going back to 300 references and back to specifically to Come Out of Her, My People, C.J. Coster. And C.J. Coster with Fossilized Customs and Pagan Names. We've proven that G.O.D. is a perversion, a deviation, and actually a pagan name. So that would be instead, that would be Mighty One, or the Mighty One. So Yahusha is the Mighty One. Titus 2.10 says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of the Mighty One, our Savior in all things. There's G-O-D, our Savior in all things. Looking for that blessed hope and kavod appearing of the great Mighty One, G-O-D, and of our Savior, Yahusha. These witnesses should be enough for anyone desiring to live by every word of Yahweh. Thomas and Paul, both calling the Messiah Mighty One, the Mighty One. Now look at scripture pertaining to the birth of Messiah in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, Yahweh himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel. This name has the meaning of Yahweh with us. Yahusha was the Mighty One with us, as we read in John 1:1, or we read earlier. In the beginning was the Word, the beginning with Yahweh, and the Word is Yahweh, or the Word was Yahweh. Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Yehuda, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The marginal reference for the word everlasting should be translated the days of eternity. So, whose goings forth have been from old, from the days of eternity. Is the Messiah, Yahusha, or Yahusha, is he an angel? No. Psalm 110, verse 1. Our Savior's remarks concerning this scripture in Matthew 22 regarding 110th Psalm. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Messiah asked them, saying, what do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, the son of David. And he said unto them, how then does David in spirit call him Yahweh? Saying, Yahweh said unto my Yahweh, sit you on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then called him Yahweh, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither did any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. That's a fair question from the Savior to those today who try to relegate his pre-existence to being a heavenly messenger, or denying that he ever pre-existed. When I say messenger, I'm staying away from the Anglo-Saxon, or the pagan word angel. And sometimes we'll use that, like angelic. A bit of evidence shows that Yahusha was not angelic or, Melakim would be the Hebrew word for messenger. He was not a Melakim, although he was a king. That's another translation. But Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9, John said, and I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to praise before the feet of the messenger which showed me these things, or the Melakim, which showed me these things. Then he said unto me, the messenger said, see you do it not, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Praise the Mighty One. Or in other words, praise Yahweh. Revelation 22, Revelation 19, and I fell at his feet to praise him, and he said unto me, see you do it not, I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren that have the testimony of Yahusha. Praise the Mighty One. Praise Yahweh. For the testimony of Yahusha is the spirit of prophecy. Yahusha did allow himself to be praised. He allowed himself, and he didn't correct anybody for it. So we've read Revelation 19:10 and 22:8. And there's also Matthew 2:11. Matthew 8:2. So 2:11 and 8:2, 9:18, 14:33, 15:25, Mark 5:6. These scriptures are before the resurrection of Yahusha. Now the Jehovah's Witnesses claim that then at the resurrection that he was changed there. But no, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:6. Yahusha is the same. Yahusha the Messiah. He did not stop these people from praising him, and not praising in the connotation of, oh, I'd like to praise you for the work you did today. No, we're substituting the word praise for worship or worship. Now, we don't use that word as a... There's a... Jeremiah said that that was equivalent to a whoreship. Now, I don't know where he got that. I tried to look it up, and it didn't seem to be correct, but I still want to be cautious. I'm not going to use whoreship. But he may be. It may well be. So we're 17 minutes into the broadcast, and we refer to Matthew 2, 8, 9, 14, 15, Mark 5, 6, and there are many other places, too, where Yahusha Messiah was praised. Worship, some people say. These scriptures are all before the resurrection of the Messiah. He did not stop these people from praising him and as being the Most High. And our Savior did not condone the breaking of the first commandment. First commandment, thou shalt not have any... go back to Exodus chapter 20. And we'll read that directly there from the Antioch-derived scroll here of the Ten Commandments, the first. And Yahweh, or the Mighty One, spake all these words, saying, I am. I am Yahweh, not L-O-R-D, but Yahweh. I am Yahweh, thy Mighty One, which hath brought thee out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the house of bondage. And verse 3, thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. Thou shalt have no Elohim before me. So that's the first commandment. Also, Isaiah 42:8 would be a good one to check. Our Savior did not condone the breaking of that first commandment. See also Joshua 5, where the captain of the host of the Eternal, in verse 14, was praised and did not stop Joshua from praising him, the captain of the host of the Eternal. Messiah was not, or never has been, a Melakim, or A-N-G-E-L, a messenger. Well, here's a, I think this is even more direct here, John 20, 28. In the newer scriptures. It's more direct here. And Thomas answered and said unto him, Yahweh and my Mighty One. Thomas answered and said, L-O-R-D there in the English, but that's corrupt. My Yahweh and my Mighty One. Also in 10:33. John 10:33. The Jews answering him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself the Mighty One. There, G-O-D, the Mighty One. Now, I missed a point here, as we go back to the beginning, that, without father, without mother, and when a witness tried to explain away, about Hebrews 7, the Yahweh did not have a published genealogy. Note that the scripture calls him King of Righteousness. No human being can be called that by Yahweh, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said, Yahweh swear and will not repent, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, I thought I had missed it. I guess I didn't. But, keep researching the scripture. I'm not the final word. Yahweh is the word. Yahweh, the rock, the Messiah. 1 Corinthians 10. I just want to read all these scriptures all together. You know, there's so many. But 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all immersed unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink. Good Passover verses there. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. Compare with 2 Samuel 22:2. And he said, "The Eternal is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the Mighty One, my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence." That was 2 Sam 22:2. Same expression in Psalm 18, 1 and 2. The rock is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, as we discern from these scriptures. Israel actually being led by Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh, and not Amalekim, can be ascertained by reading Exodus 33, whole chapter. Verse 2, Yahweh says he will send his Amalekim before them, but he will not go because of the stiff-necked attitude of the Israelites. Moses beseeches him to continue with them in verses 13 to 16. Yahweh accedes in verse 17. Yahweh went with Israel. He was their rock, as 1 Corinthians 10:4 proves that Yahweh was Messiah. Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, was Messiah. And then there will be those who want to divide him up into two or three. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 8. Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Almost 6:6 there, but 6:4. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one. Yahweh is our one Yahweh. And thou shalt love Yahweh, thy mighty one, with all thy heart, thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So that's the whole Shema there. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. That's a prayer that Messianic like to memorize in Hebrew, among a few other places. It's nice to memorize scripture in Hebrew, but it's even better yet to know how to prove different teachings by going right to the Hebrew, going to the Hebrew and breaking and translating that out word for word. But memorization is also useful. John 4:42, and now said the woman in John 4:42, now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that he is indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Compare that with Isaiah 60. You shall also suck the milk of Gentiles and the breast of kings, and you shall know that I, the Eternal, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. These scriptures reveal Yahusha as the Savior of the world, since there is no Savior but him, as proven from Acts 4, verses 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Yahusha of Nazareth, whom you impaled, whom the Mighty One raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Unless, of course, we want to use another name, and then, of course, he knows who we're talking about. Whether we change any letter or part, we can say his name however we want. He doesn't really care at all. Oh, no, it says here that we must be very careful. Of all people, we must know his name. We're very careful about anybody else, and even about Satan, but when it comes to the Messiah's name or Yahweh the Father's name, then people say, well, it's a secondary issue. Let's not get hung up on splitting hairs about what the Messiah's name is, how it's spelled, or even in a lesser amount pronounced. Some people are mute. Compare this verse of Acts 4, whereby we must be saved, in Acts 4:12, with Hosea 13:4. I'm really jumping around here fast, but you could play the file through again and again if you want. Or perhaps I can put this in text, or I could refer you to the manual from giveshare.org, Bible Studies 1 to 130, page 224. And this is written by Shirley and Richard Nichols, distributed by giveshare.org. And there's much, much more, but I'm just doing an abbreviation of these studies and pointing you to the scriptures. And the explanation of that is found here in this website as well as giveshare.org, although he's using a Giveshare is using the J-E-S-U-S and all that, the other Iesus, the Greek goddess of healing. which we don't use here. So Hosea 13, yet I am the Eternal, your mighty one from the land of Egypt, and you shall know no Elohim but me, for there is no Savior beside me. The above scriptures, the only logical conclusion is Yahusha, Messiah, is the only Savior, and that Savior has to be Yahweh. Isaiah 8, we find that Yahweh is called the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, and many would stumble and fall and be snared. Isaiah 8:13, as well as 1 Peter 2, 7 and 8. 1 Peter 2, 7. Unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed. The same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Yahweh is the rock. We started out this chapter, this section, with Yahweh the rock is Messiah, 1 Corinthians 10:4. Yahweh was not a messenger, or rather a Melakim. He was not an angel, as the Jehovah's Witnesses say that he is Michael the Archangel. I was told that the other day by a person that came to my door, and I said, well, what is the lowest position then that you would put our Messiah, and what is the highest? And he said, well, certainly not as high as the Father's, because the Father is over him. You know, so that seemed to kind of lead me to into their way of thinking, but no, we know better. We know all the scriptures, and we're not going to go to somebody else's studies as the final word, but only possibly as a guide. But I wouldn't, that'd be about the last place I'd go if it was the only place there was. If there were no scriptures, there was only a New World Translation, then we'd maybe use part of that. So the Messiah was before John, Isaiah 40, Yeshayahu 40, verse 3, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Eternal, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, make straight in the desert a highway for Yahweh. Matthew 3:1, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, for this is he that was spoken of you by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make his path straight. Matthew 3:1. Mark 1:3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make his path straight. Preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latchet, of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. Now after that John was put in prison, Messiah came unto Galilee, preaching the evangel of the kingdom of Yahweh, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand, repent and believe the evangel. John 1:15. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he who of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And then read 29-33. How many more witnesses do we need? There's enough here to convict the Pope, especially when one is a direct quote. One of the witnesses is a direct quote from the Savior. Matthew 11. As they departed, Messiah, or Yahusha, began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with a wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare your way before you. How many more witnesses or scripture references to authenticate that Yahusha is the Savior? It should also be noted that Yochanan, or John the Baptist, was born between 3 to 6 months before the Messiah, before Yahusha. So John's statement had to do with Messiah's pre-existence there in John 1:15. Or Matthew 3, or Mark chapter 1. Messiah was before John. Messiah is the rock, who is Yahusha. Messiah is not a messenger of Melakim, lower than the Father. Yahusha has always existed. He is Yahweh. There were also, of course, scriptures like Hebrews 1 and Colossians 2. We'll be doing that hopefully soon. Let's see how far we're in now. 33 minutes into the broadcast. And we'll go to, one I missed here. After the Shema, hear, O Yisrael, Yahweh is one. Let's go to John 10:30. Yahweh, our mighty one, is Yahweh. Yahweh, our mighty one, is Yahweh. That's the Shema. John 10:30. Okay. And we read earlier that the Jews of that time, not all of them, certainly not John the Baptist, not the apostles, but certain Jews accused the Messiah of blasphemy. But in this passage here, I want to read the whole part here, and it's fairly short, in John 10:25, and Yahusha answered them, I told you, and you believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. The word man was inserted in italics. So, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Let's see, man was in italics, so no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Messiah, Yahweh, will rule all nations. Micah 4:1. In the last days it has come to pass, Micah 4 and the older scriptures, the mountain of the house of the Eternal shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Eternal, the mountain of Yahweh, and to the house of the Mighty One of Yaakov. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Torah shall go forth out of Zion, Mount Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. He shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, the pruning hook, the sword, and so on. Every man shall sit every man under his vine. The mouth of the Eternal, the mouth of Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of armies has spoken it. Micah 4 was Revelation 11. The seventh Malachim sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of Yahweh and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. The 24 elders which sat before Yahweh, sat before the Mighty One on their seats, fell upon their faces and praised Yahweh, saying, we give thanks, O Yahweh, Mighty One, Almighty, which are and was and are to come, because you are taken, you have taken to you thy great power and have reigned. We should also read Revelation 19, which so shows that Yahusha, the word of Yahweh, returning to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And that would be in Revelation 19, 5 through 20. So you could do that, okay? Also, I was telling about the book here, Bible Studies. It sounds kind of like a rather dry doctrinal study, but it's very, very interesting. From GiveShare.org, Bible Studies 1 through 130 from GiveShare.org. And I just couldn't go on enough to tell you how interesting it is. There's personal testimonies in there about how they had hardships and death and things in the family, and how Richard C. Nichols was saved, giving his report there, a good report. Yahweh is able to deliver us. Yahusha is able to deliver us from our sinful nature and from all of our past sin, and to give us eternal life through the Son, Yahusha. So Yahusha is his name. Why do we still call him Jesus or Jesus? That's a good question. The Messiah, Yahusha, had esteem before the world was. He had kavod, the Hebrew word kavod. John 17, John 6, 62, John 17, 5. And now, O Father, magnify me with thine own self, with the esteem I had with thee before the world was. John 17, 5. With the esteem, or kavod, I had with you before the world was, should at least refute the arguments that Messiah did not exist at all before his human birth. John 6:62. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? The belief that Michael was the being who became Messiah does not even begin to hold water. Daniel 9:25. The Messiah is called the Prince, but this does not mean he was Michael. Daniel 10:13 calls Michael one of the chief princes. This was a prince of Persia. Yahusha created the Malachim, or messengers, or angels, as can be verified by reading John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was Yahweh, the Word was with Yahweh, and so on, John 1:1-14. And so we've read many scriptures here in these 40 minutes as proof that Messiah was Yahweh of the Old Testament, especially 1 Corinthians 10:4. I think that's very convicting to me. Hebrews 1, we'll just see as well, is also great conviction there. Trying to reason around the fact that Yahweh is the Messiah, and then we like to, you know, get into our intellectual arguments and everything, and dissecting our Heavenly Father and Yahusha, our Messiah, and then they want to come up with a Trinitarian Roman Catholic version of three gods in heaven, and so on. Trying to reason around this fact by saying he was the messenger or angel of Yahweh, and as such could use the name or description of Yahweh, is ludicrous. If I send a person to represent me to a group of people with the authority to sign my name or act in my name, it would be a lie for this representative to say that his name was Stephaniah Eber. It would be a lie, and there is no way around it. To say that the Mighty One, the Father, thought so fervently of the Messiah before his birth, that to the Father, Messiah existed already in his mind, even though he didn't exist yet. To explain John 17:5 that we read is very close to adding to the scriptures. Well, of course, I mean, that's cultish. We all have our little errors and problems in our belief, but I mean, that's way off. To start out by saying that the Messiah is not Yahweh himself is blasphemy. Because Yahweh himself, you know, he called him, I am. He said, I am. Remember, there at the beginning? I am he. And let me see if I can quickly find that reference again for you. John 8:52. John 8:52. And then there are some others there. John 18:5. Oh, okay, there it was. I just found that part. I'm going to have to go back to John 18:5 for a second. And so he answered, who do you say I am? And they answered him, Yahusha of Nazareth. And Judas was there, betrayed him. Then they went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, whom seek you? And they said, Yahusha of Nazareth. Yahusha answered and said, I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. This expression is the same as we have read in Exodus 3:13-16. The mob, under the influence of demonic powers, fell away backward at the expression, I am. This demonstration shows that they knew Yahusha's rank, both then and before his human birth. As we have today, the 500-year-old Kabbalah and those in secret organizations that will not pronounce the name of Yahweh except in their, probably in their secret assemblies, but they say it is forbidden, or, you know, we should pronounce or whisper his name once a year in the temple or something, which we no longer have, but to whisper his name once a year at the Day of Atonement or something. Well, Yahweh says to proclaim his name, even to proclaim it to the heathen. So Yahweh, before he was born, existed, before he was born of the Virgin, Miriam, here at the feast, on second high day, wonderful time here, the weather threatening, blowing snow like crazy during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's really awesome. But we talked about that Yahusha is not Michael the Archangel in Daniel 9:25 or Daniel 10:13, the chief princes there. Trying to reason around this is dishonest. Yahusha said, and now, O Father, magnify me with thine own self, with the esteem I had with thee before the world was. If you can't depend on a plain statement such as that, you'll not be able to comprehend any kind of logic or proof. You'll not be able to reason from the scripture. You will not have, even after having heard the word, you wouldn't have any kind of faith that that harmonizes his word and makes any sense. John 1:3, his total life is worth more than all humanity. Now, if he was just a messenger, we couldn't really say that about the Messiah. He willingly, as well, Messiah willingly came and died for us. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Yahusha Messiah, who being in who being in the form of Yahweh, thought it not robbery to be equal with Yahweh, once again Philippians 2, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, which was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the torture stake, or the gnarly tree. Certainly not cross, the pagan cross. A better translation of made himself of no reputation is he emptied himself. He became obedient, he humbled himself, and being obedient to the Father. Why did he empty himself, and what did he empty himself of? What a scripture. It's unbelievable to the lengths men have gone to in their vain imagination to interpret this to suit their own desires. He offered it up. He was the offering, the final offering. We don't have to offer every week, or once a month, or once a year. We don't have to offer Messiah up and some kind of a communion thing or a transubstantiation or anything, because the work has already been paid for once. The old account was settled long ago when Messiah died for our sins. People who deny the pre-existence of Messiah today are in the same leaky boat as the Jews in Messiah's time who could not accept the fact of his pre-existence either. Yahweh help us to see and treasure precious truths such as found in Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to go about another, I would guess, around 5 or 10 minutes. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 1. And the Greek word there, theos, that we don't use, or the English G-O-D, got, or God. So it would be Mighty One, or Yahweh. We're going to have to transpose there in our mentally. Yahweh, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. See John 5:37, so forth. He has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the world, who being the brightness of his esteem and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the Malachim or messengers, see, being made so much better than the messengers, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the messengers did he say at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. See also 5:5. And then we'll come back here. Jumping around real fast. It's better to just be sitting and listening to this broadcast with your scripture open. So also Messiah magnified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Begotten, not made. Verse 1:6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the messengers of Yahweh praise him. That was when Yahweh was born of the Virgin Miriam at Bethlehem during the Feast of Tabernacles in October. And of the messengers, he said, who makes his messengers spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O Yahweh, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Psalm 45. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Hated lawlessness. 4:58. Iniquity. Therefore, Yahweh, even thy Yahweh, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Yahweh, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish. See, they're going to perish. The earth and the heavens. Just like Peter says. But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as does a garment. They're going to wax old. As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. So here's another one of those scriptures that the Eternal Father is the same, like Hebrews 13. Thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the messengers said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Or are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Psalm 103:17. So we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. 103:17 Psalms. But the mercy of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Yahweh has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless Yahweh, you his messengers that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye Yahweh, all his hosts, his armies, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless Yahweh, all his works in all the places of his dominion. Bless Yahweh, O my soul. And then we go to Colossians 2. We could also pick up some of those other verses there in Hebrews 2. To 2:12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the assembly, will I sing praise unto thee. That's Psalm 22:2, or 22:22. But I wanted to go back to Colossians to turn left. In chapter 2. And Colossians 1:12. I looked around in some other paraphrase versions, and it's not any better than the King James Version. Besides, this is from the original Antioch Scrolls, not the Egyptians. Colossians 1:12, you know, not from the Pharisees, not from the Greek. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, or made us qualified, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, the Son, in other words, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible mighty one, the firstborn of every creature. So he's the image of Yahweh and the firstborn of every creature. For by him, you know, by Yahusha, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him and for him. See 1 Corinthians 10:4. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, his death, burial, and resurrection, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his Messiah, of his tree, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Winding up there with Colossians 1:20, A and B. And we could see also John 11:43. We'll not go there, but we'll go to try 1 Kings 17:17. But that was the reference. John 11 was a reference to Lazarus. There's been many who were miraculously raised from the dead, but not our heavenly eternal Yahusha, our Messiah, who was nailed and impaled on that tree at Calvary 2,000 years ago and died for my sins. And he's transforming us. And 17:17 of 1 Kings says, it came to pass after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and her sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in that son. And then she said unto Elijah, what I have to do with thee? And so Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. The woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of Yahweh, and that the word of Yahweh in thy mouth is truth. 1 Kings. And let's see, I think we could go to 2:9, Colossians 2:9. For in him, that's in the Messiah, where it says before that verse, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Yahusha. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the mighty head bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Messiah, buried with him in immersion, in baptism, or I can't remember, it's not mikvah, there's a better word for that, buried with him in immersion, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of Yahweh, raised him from the dead. Much more could be said about this. We've got a lot of other scriptures. Oh, Colossians 3:1, if you then be risen with Messiah, seek these things which are above, where Messiah sitteth on the right hand of Messiah, or right hand of Yahweh, rather, set your affection on things above, not here on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Messiah. When Yahusha, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in esteem. Mortify there your members and names, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things the wrath of Yahweh comes on the children of disobedience. Then we have, we did Hebrews 1. We also have Genesis 1:1 in the beginning. Yahweh created the heavens and the earth there. Probably the word Elohim, but there'd be controversy about that. Psalm 89, Messiah, Yahusha is the rock. Psalm 89:26, and Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. Revelation 1, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He wasn't born just yesterday. No, he's same yesterday, today, forever. He's the eternal, the everlasting, the Almighty Father. And maybe we did Romans 8. If not, it was Romans 8, 10 and 11, and 22:23. I'll just have to close with that because it's time now to conclude. We're coming up to almost an hour here in the full-length version of this broadcast on Yahweh.name. And that the file is called Yahusha the I Am. So it's Romans 8, 10, and 11. And if Messiah be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Messiah from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Messiah from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 22 of Romans 8, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together till now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Thanks for joining us. Shalom.
This program was Yahusha, the I Am, Part 2. Part 1 will probably not be up anymore, but Part 2, this is the better of the two programs. It was recorded at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the third day, Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I am Stefan Yah. The length of this program was about 53 minutes, and we invite you to drop us a comment at Stefan Yah, that's T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H, Stefan Yah, at Yahweh. Yahweh.name. Yahweh.name. Stefan Yah. Yahweh.name. Thanks for joining us once again, and shalom. Have a beautiful forever. May he come quickly. Maranatha.